The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
Running for Ballarine Ward for the Put the Climate First Alliance is Elise Wilkinson. Elise, good morning, how are you?
Good morning, Mitchell. Very well, thank you.
Thanks for being on the program. First of all, we spoke to Monica Winston previously, who I think was planning to run on the Ballarine, but perhaps due to a technicality is now running down at the Surf Coast. So did they then knock on your door and say, we'd love you to run for the Ballarine? Is that how it
they
worked?
That's exactly how it worked. I got tapped on the shoulder, and I was actually in hotel quarantine at the time. So I was there with my teenage son who'd returned from overseas, and a real moment of pause, Mitchell, a moment to sort of think about what's really important, you know, the safety of family and friends and the importance of connection to community and the environment and looking after it for the future. So sort of COVID-19 meets climate crisis, and yet the tap on the shoulder had me putting my hand up. So, yep, first time. no political aspirations in the past, but here I am, running for Ballarine.
This may not necessarily be related to your campaign, but what was it like in hotel quarantine? I have to ask, given everything we've heard about it. What was that experience like?
You know, it was actually really... It was apart from not being able to have fresh air, so there were no fresh air breaks at all. But apart from that, it was actually... an incredible time. I hadn't seen my 15-year-old son for 9 months, so it was incredible to spend 2 weeks with him. And
so your son had been overseas, had he?
Yeah, he'd been in Spain on a student exchange program.
Wow.
And so we just thought it was time to bring him home, given the uncertainty. And I've got to say, all the staff were incredible, and you know the human services workers were actually repurposed pilots, cabin crew, so Medisat Telemarine, and we're all care, and there was lots of mental health check-ins and support. So, yeah, it was a good experience.
And everyone was following infection control protocols that
yes.
you saw?
Yes, everyone was in full PPE. They were cleaning before and after. Everything was, very much adhering to protocols.
So you say you'd never really planned to run for politics, but have you always been a keen observer of what's been going on?
Yes, I have. I can see, as a social worker, I see the political... the political is personal. So just listening to Libby Coker there and the impact of, say, rolling back something like JobSeeker to the ridiculous amount that it was, I can see the devastating effects of that and the impact on people's sort of sense of hope and opportunity in life and not even being able to cover the rent. So I definitely see my role as a social worker and the connection with the decisions that are made on a macro level having incredible significance for people day to day. So, yes, in that sense, I have been a keen observer for most of my life.
And in terms of climate change, because it is the Put the Climate First Alliance, has that always been an issue of interest to you?
Yeah, it has. You know, from the days of where you used to sort of ride down on your bike with your glass bottle to be recycled or squash cans around at the footy. It's all, you know, I've always believed in really looking at what we're using and how we're using it and to tread lightly on this earth. But having children and having teenage children and seeing the impact of the climate crisis on mental health, I think has been a huge driver for me. So marching alongside them against wanting, you know, demanding action at the climate strikes on Friday and seeing the hope and the anger and the frustration in young people's faces and really seeing that there's a real awareness. There's some great research in Victoria. I know that The Lancet and, huge global organisations in terms of medical knowledge have been telling us for some time, but there's some good research in Victoria to demonstrate that it's actually that age range between 15 and 24 that have a real understanding of the connection between health and climate. So having two teenage children who look to me to say, well, what's going on? And we've known the science for 30 or 40 years. Why are we still why are we still investing in fossil fuel industries, and why are we even considering a gas-led recovery? None of that fits with the economics. So economists are saying to us there's no economic viability for that, and young people are certainly looking at us to say, look, please, you know, we can't vote. This needs to change.
And how does council fit into that role? What would you like to see council do in response to climate change?
Yeah, so I think I've certainly from the get-go, declaring a global climate emergency. The wording of that was a little bit different for Geelong. So there's over 1,700 councils now that have declared a climate emergency. Geelong acknowledged that there was a global climate emergency rather than actually stating there was a local climate emergency. So I'd really like that to be firmed up and a real commitment. So the sustainability framework is a beginning, but it's really looking at 2% of the current carbon emissions, which is what the City of Greater Geelong impacts on. So we really need a sort of a whole council response. So really from the get-go, investing in the environmental team within council. So really looking at, putting some real money into addressing these issues and making change. I think really taking away the vested interests or the perceived vested interests, taking away that and looking at a true democracy. So allowing something like a citizens' assembly where you do have people from all walks of life being able to be educated about climate change and actually being able to vote on how that goes forward. Stakeholder committees that involve the sustainability groups and real experts in the field that we have here in Geelong. We've got incredible knowledge. So I'd really like to see all of that really and really tangible, measurable outcomes. So really clear targets for zero carbon emissions by 2030, investing in renewables in our industry. We've already got wind turbine factory in, you know, the old Ford factory, and an application for building a mega battery so in Geelong. So really look at the $63 billion global investments that are out there and, you know, stick our hands up and then advocate with state and federal governments to follow to really agitate for that broader political change. It really, our community is telling us, you know, in 83% of the Bellarine residents that participated in the Geelong community survey want real change. They want action, and they're very concerned about climate crisis.
In terms of the Citizens Assembly, I believe that's one of the demands of Extinction Rebellion as well in their campaigning. Why do you think, and first of all, how would that sort of thing work, particularly here in Geelong? But also, why do you think it would work? Why are citizens better than elected people?
Yeah, I think citizens... So if we look at things like the reporting, I mean, the history of the City of Greater Geelong Council is one thing. You know, I know that, it dissolved and we had a bit of a clean out of councillors and then people were re-elected. I think that given reports like that 5-6 voting block, taking away that political party politics, I think the environment has been politicised, and that's really unuseful. So it allows something like a citizens' assembly, which is sort of like jury duty, only that, you know, there is an investment in time in terms of people volunteering and being able to do that, and an investment in terms of council being able to pay for the costs of people to be able to do that. So whether it's childcare or transport or accommodations to enable that access. But, you know, we can be creative in terms of technology as well. And I think there's a clarity, there's a depth of knowledge and it already invests in educating people within the community across all demographics. So you put people in a room, you educate, you support, you drive some of that information, and then that's informed. That's real from the beginning. Then it's that leading by bringing people with you. So it's I think it could work really well. It's worked really well across the world. It does take a visionary perspective, but it really takes away that link between fossil fuels and donations to parties. I think it, you know, perceived or real in terms of the impact that has on council. I really believe that that being able to separate those two would give a lot of trust and faith back into the democratic process.
Preferences. I see that a number of Ballarine candidates, particularly over the weekend, have been posting their how to votes and who they're voting for after number one. Are you doing that? Are you going to tell people how they should vote after you?
Yeah, I have put my preferences out. I was, you know, as a first time round, I wasn't sure whether I would, but I have. I've certainly, and I've preferenced Jim Mason and Corey, the Greens candidate. Based on their action and certainly Jim's experience in terms of his action on climate and the environment. So yes, I have, but. Look, the people of Ballarine are intelligent people. They can vote. Just, you know, it's just making sure that there's a number in every box. But yeah, my voting how-to cards out there on Facebook and on social media.
Right, the three questions that we ask of everyone running for local government. Number one, politics. I mean, that's clear that you're part of the Put the Climate First Alliance.
Yes, yep. So an aligned, so a group of actually all women, you know, increasing the pathway and the representation of women within leadership, but really with a focus on getting action and getting it right now. The house is on fire.
Number two, do you live within Ballarine Ward?
I do. I live in Bowen Heads.
And at number three, the elevator pitch. This is where we get you to just talk directly to the people listening today or on the website. Why should people vote one for you?
Yep. So I bring a community-minded 19 years of experience working within Geelong, living on the Ballarine. I'm pushing for a direct action for climate change, zero carbon emissions by 2030, localised goods and services, really regenerating jobs that are long-term and sustainable, regenerating ecosystems and social systems, and creating a citizens' democracy.
Well, thank you so much for being on the program and best of luck with your campaign.
Thank you so much, Mitchell, and thanks to Pulse FM.
No worries. Thank you very much, Elise Wilkinson, joining us there, running as a candidate for the Put the Climate First Alliance for Ballarine Ward.
The Mitchell's Front Page podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 to 11, or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.